gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners. 70,000 watts of continuous gospel power. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Praise God. We'll read chapter 5, Joshua. We'll read verse 9 through verse 9 through 12. How about we just do that? And we'll parade and peruse the whole periphery of chapter number 5. Amen. When you have it, say, I have the word. Ready to receive it. Joshua, Yeshua. In Hebrew and in Greek is Jesus. English is Jesus. Jesus in Greek, amen. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal until this day. The children of Israel encamped at Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plain of Jericho. They did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Amen. May God add the blessing those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen. Amen. I don't want to hold you very long, but want you to think about possessing the promises that God has for you. Some things that we must do in preparation of that. But I want to say and use for a thought, a title, a topic, possessing the promise by staying in the presence. Amen. The only way we can possess the promise is if we stay in the presence. Amen. Amen. We must stay in the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. Up until this point, we find that Moses is now dead, and Joshua has taken the ranks of being the leader of the children of Israel, somewhere between 2 and 3 million people who have been in a wilderness going around and around, not able to get what God had promised them because of unbelief. And because of this, those that were come out of Egypt, that lived in Egypt, they died in the wilderness. They died, and their children were wilderness wanderers. All they knew was wilderness. The only two people who had came out of Egypt into the land that were from the old group was Joshua and Caleb. And the only reason they made it is because they had faith enough to believe that God could do what he said that he could do. Amen. Although they had to stay out and wander with the rest of them, they still had faith that God could do it. And there were 12 spies, and Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies. And they went in the land and they spied out the land. They said, surely God has given us this place. Look how big the grapes are. Look at all that God has given us. But the other 10 folks came back and said, oh, the people are too big for us. They didn't want to have to put no work forward. They didn't want to have to fight. They didn't want to have to put no effort. They just wanted to be able to go over there and get it. That tells us something, because it's human nature not to want to put forth an effort. Amen. Because nowadays we are entitled. We want it. We want God to just give it to us. We want people to just hand it over. We just want it to fall out of the sky. We want to be walking and money is under our feet somewhere. You know, we want things to happen without an effort, without putting forth time, without having faith, without being patient and trusting that God will do exactly what he said he would do. How many trust God that he'll do what he said he would do? What if he don't do it this year and you plan for it this year? Will you still trust him, or will you say it's time for a plan B? What if he don't do it in the next 5 years, but you say that God wants you to do this, but what if he waits 5 years before he does it? Will you still trust him? Will you keep his way? Will you continue to do his will? The problem with many of us today is that we have this microwave religion. That if we don't stick it in like a bag of popcorn and in 1 minute and 15 or 1 minute and 30 seconds, if it hadn't risen and we can eat it and taste it, we don't want it. We got a chicken nugget generation that, you know, fast food, if it don't come to us fast and we can't put our hand on it right away, we get aggravated. I'll just go somewhere else and do something else. That's what we are. Amen. And we have to go back to the time where it take a little while to prepare a meal. It take a little while to prepare a blessing. It take a little while. You got to understand that if you got, and I said this before, but if you got a special order, even if you go to the fast food restaurant, it take a little bit longer for you to get your order. Everybody else come through, they want the same old stuff. And they get theirs pretty quick and they pass you on by. But you standing there waiting. Amen. And sometimes it takes a little longer to get a special order. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? Than it does to get any old thing. But the children of Israel, it took them 40 years. They walked in the wilderness for 40 years. And this younger generation that was the children of Israel, all they knew was the wilderness. They heard the stories about Egypt, and all they knew was the wilderness. So how can you tell them to go somewhere else when they've been getting stuff for free? In other words, they've been eating manna, they ain't have to work. They've been drinking water, they ain't have to dig a well, preach. And I'm trying to tell you something here, because here's where our generation of millennials, they come in at, because they ain't have to dig, because we went to work for them. Amen. They didn't have to go out and slop no hogs. They didn't have to go and feed no chickens and put them in the coop and feed them out and wring their neck and then pluck the feathers and boil it. Amen. They didn't have to do that. All they had to do is ready. You can go to Brooks's and it's in a bubble pack. And we expect them to understand Egypt. See, I'm talking to me too, because I was expecting them to understand Egypt. But they don't understand the Red Sea, because they never had their back against the wall. All they had to do is walk with me. So it's time for us to get a strategy here so that they can go in and possess the land. So that they can walk in the promises of God. What we've done is we could keep telling them about Egypt, and we keep telling them about the Red Sea, and we keep telling them about Moses, but they need their own experience. Y'all help me today. We need our own experience. And that's why they're all on the web, the www dot, the World Wide Web. It's a web. It's designed to catch you up. Looking for answers. They're on the web looking for Googling everything. Got me Googling everything. When we find out that the real answer is Jesus Christ. Joshua here, they now have come, as I preached last week, they've come through the Jordan. They've come through what it means to come through the Jordan is to come into a new life. They've come into a new life because before they would not cross the Jordan because they were just wilderness wanderers. All they did was walk around in the same place, going in circles and seeing the same stuff. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing new. Just doing the same old routine. But then God said, let's go over this Jordan. And when they went over the Jordan, he dried up the waters just as he did the Red Sea so that they can have their own experience to see who God really is. Yeah. And when they got their own experience and they walked through the Jordan, that was symbolic of what we do now when we become saved and we get baptized. We come into a what? New life. Yeah. So when you come into a new life, some things change. Things change. You can't remain the same. You can't continue the same old routine. You can't continue to do the same old things. You can't continue to have the same old hangouts. I used to hang under this tree in the wilderness, but now I don't. Because now I'm in the promised land. Y'all hear me? And you know, I want to be Joshua. I don't want to be Moses left over there. I want to be a Caleb. I want to say, give me this mountain. I want to say, I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago when it was promised to me. I wish I had somebody. I want to get there with them because somebody got to circumcise them. Y'all, you might not like this part here. Notice what happened here. It says, when you start looking at the first beginning, it said, it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites and all those that were westward over the Jordan and the kings of the Canaanites were by the sea, they heard the Lord dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel and were passed over, and their heart melted, neither were their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Now, what happened here is that the word got around that God was with these folks. While they were in the wilderness, didn't nobody care. But now they've changed. Now they've made some progress. And all of a sudden, the people who are around them start to fear and their heart starts to melt. Do you know the reason why the devil don't want this next generation to get the word of God and to be on fire for God? Is because of the anointing that's on their life to destroy yokes and take away burdens. Do you know that they have such intelligence and such wisdom that's coming with them that it have never been seen in the face of the earth, and the world, or those who don't want it to happen, are so afraid of them. If they ever can connect with God and become a royal priesthood, they will be so powerful and so anointed that nothing will be impossible to them. So the Amorites and the Canaanites, these folks, they begin to be afraid because of what they heard. Do we have a testimony of our God that make people look at us and say, I'm not going to mess with them, because of the testimony that God is with them? People are so easy now to talk about any Christian. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. People are so, they don't care who you are. They will run your name down. They will talk about you like a dog, talk about you like you got a tail. They don't care who you are, but they need to have some respect for you because you're a child of the King. Tell yourself, I'm a child of the King. You know, you can't handle me any kind of way. All right, am I boring you already? I ain't even got to the good part yet, so just hang with me. And it says that in verse 2, that the Lord said to Joshua, make a sharp knife. In other words, take a rock and make this rock sharp, because he says, and circumcise again the children of Israel a second time. And Joshua made of him a sharp knife, verse 3, and circumcised the children of Israel on the heel of the foreskins. Now, notice what happened here. He says, now, you walked into a new life, but now you got to cut away some stuff. Yes. Remember, we have to stay in the presence in order to gain the promises. Right. And so it's some things we can't go in God's presence with. Yes. We got to cut some stuff off. We got to not only cut some stuff off, we got to cut some people off. Y'all with me here? You got to cut some ideals off. You got to cut some beliefs off, some stinking thinking. You got to cut that stuff off if you want to stay in the presence of God and obtain the promises of God. Lord, help me here. And so here's Joshua. Yeah, everything cool now. We done made it over the river. Everything cool. We all in the promised land. And here's Joshua. He over there sharpening up a rock. They don't even know what's about to happen. God done spoke to him and he just sharpening. He just getting it ready. And they don't even know that they about to lose something. Ain't that something? God spoke to Joshua and said, do it again. And what happened was here, the reason why God said do it again is because when the children of Israel, they were in Egypt, all of them were circumcised as a sign. Not only was it a sign, but it was also a seal. So in other words, God commanded Abraham to circumcise as a sign of his faith, cut off the skin. And he said, now, not only that, but it's a seal of righteousness that we have a covenant with one another. And so God is telling Joshua, you need to renew the covenant that I had with Abraham so that the people that you're with now can possess the promises that I promised Abraham. He promised Abraham a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that if you trust me, I'll give it to you. He promised him some things that could not be given by the hand of man, but God only could give them. And so we have to renew our covenant with God. We have to go back and say, God, I'm cutting away some stuff so I can be right with you. Y'all with me? Colossians 2, 9 through 12 speaks of a spiritual circumcision, which means that we're part of what we call the true circumcision, when we cut away of the heart, amen? Some things that are in our heart. What's in your heart that you need to get rid of? Do you have some people in your heart you need to get rid of? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart and you need to get rid of it? Do you have some stuff that you're holding, some iniquity in your heart that you need to get rid of? What do you have in your heart? Come on and say amen now. Romans tells us that God gave Abraham circumcision for those reasons, so that he could have a covenant with him so that he can bless him. Come on and say amen. And so now we have our circumcision through Jesus Christ. We have it through Jesus Christ because he's the one that cut the covenant. He's the one that does the cutting away. That's why when we get saved, the Bible said that the Spirit comes and he cleans us up. He starts getting some things out of our heart, out of our mind. But somehow we always seem to go back to like a dog to his own vomit, like a hog to slop. We go right back to the same stuff and we have to again cut it away. Y'all with me? So the first thing, if we want to possess the promises and stay in the presence of God, we have to have some consecration. We have to consecrate. We have to understand the covenant and the commitment that we have to have with God by cutting away our flesh, cutting away our fleshly nature. I know we ain't going to get too many amens on this part because we love our flesh and we love the fleshly nature. We love how it feels to us. We love because it make me feel good. It make me feel like I'm somebody because of my flesh. You pat me on the back because of a fleshly deed. I feel pretty good. I wish I had somebody. You tell me, I look good, I smell good, I like how you walk, I like how you talk, your hair's good. I feel pretty good about that because our flesh. But what about when somebody says, I love the way you praise the Lord? Do you come on and say amen here? When somebody not only say, I love the way you praise God, but when they tell you, I love the fact that you're a praying person, that you know how to quote the scriptures and put them in the right place, and you're not trying to twist them and manipulate them to make them sound like what you want them to sound like, but you take it as it is, and if the shoe fits, you wear. I wish I had somebody in here. I love the shoes you're wearing this morning. Amen. If it fits, wear it. So Joshua, he's getting this knife ready, and he says that in verse 4, and this is the cause why Joshua did the circumcision, because what happened is when they came out of Egypt, they were circumcised, but the ones that were in the wilderness and born in the wilderness, their fathers did not circumcise them. And I started to do a little bit of research, and I realized it's because the leader of their fathers wasn't one who wanted to do circumcision either. What do you mean? I'm talking about Moses. Remember, God was getting ready to kill Moses. God was getting ready. I know y'all didn't read that, but you can go back and read this in Genesis. He was getting ready to kill Moses, and all of a sudden, his wife, Zipporah, took a knife, and she cut off the foreskins of her sons, and she touched and put the blood on Moses' feet and threw the foreskins at his feet, and guess what happened? God said, okay, he's not going to kill Moses now. Because Moses did not circumcise his own sons. In other words, Moses never told them they need to cut away their flesh in order to be in covenant with God. Now, you know, it's a shame if we don't talk to our children about cutting away fleshly acts. It's a shame if we don't talk to our children about rights and wrongs, if we just let them do what they want to do, you know, and that's where we are. We are the wilderness wanderers because we don't want to talk to our children about right and wrong because they might get upset and get mad because we want to be their friend because we don't want them angry. But I need to tell you something. If you don't tell them right from wrong, then you won't save their soul from hell. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. He said, if you don't use the rod, then you hate your child, and you're letting him deliver his soul into hell. It comes a point in time when you got to tell him. Comes a point in time you got to train up a child in the way that should go. What do you mean train up a child? The word train in that text, it means that if, like, take a stick or a rod and put beside a tomato plant so it doesn't fall over, so it can produce fruit. Because if it falls over and the fruit begin to develop, all the insects will eat it up and it will rot on the ground. So what you're saying is that you want your child's fruit to rot on the ground because you won't prop him up by the rod. Y'all with me? We must make sure our children know. Moses didn't do that, and God was about to slay him. And you would think about that. Have you been talking to your children about the right things? About the covenant they should have with God? God was about to slay Moses, who he considered a friend. Because Moses didn't do it. What do you think about you? Are you greater than Moses? I can talk like this all evening. Because it's a reality check for not just you, for me. Have we taught them about the covenant? Or are we letting reality TV teach them about the mess they should be in? Are we letting rap music and R&B music dictate how they act, what they wear, what they do, the things they say? If they can't tell you about their covenant with God, then shame on you, not on them. Shame on the parent. Because it's your duty to make sure they understand the covenant of God. All right, let me go on because y'all getting. But Moses began, Joshua, he sharpened the knife, and it says in verse 5, and all the people that came out were circumcised, and the people that were born in the wilderness by the way they came out, as they came out of Egypt, they had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt was consumed. So here it is, the people who knew how to war, they were consumed. And here it is, a group that don't know nothing about fighting. There's a group that knew about the Civil Rights Movement. But then there's a group now that don't know nothing about it. They don't know anything about how to survive in hard times. Because now we've given them what they need. Come on and say amen, y'all. I'm trying to be prophetic here so you could see that this is valid for today. Amen. And so, all of a sudden, it says that in verse number 8, it says, and it came to pass when they had done the circumcision, all the people that were bold in their place into the camp until they were made whole. Look at what God did. He allowed Joshua. Now, here's Joshua. He circumcised every man. Now, this is people who are 40 years old and under. Everybody was near about the same age. And all of them got circumcised. All at the same time. Do you know that God will put us together and he'll begin to do some things, not just in my life, but in your life too? But the Bible says after Joshua did this, they had to stay in one place until they were made whole. When we get saved or when we think we know the Lord, we won't sit in one place. We think, I was talking to somebody the other day, they're going to save the world. I'm like, you know, you do know that you got to sit down because you just got circumcised. Y'all don't hear me. You know how painful that is for a grown man? That's why they do it when the baby's 8 days old, when the baby's just born, because he don't know how to complain about how it hurts. You want to turn a grown man into a baby? Circumcise him. But he told them, stay in a place until you all be made whole. And the problem is we got people who are not made whole, who didn't heal right, trying to help other folks. Y'all with me today? If you're not whole and you're not healing right, you can't help me. If you got infected, if you got infected, don't teach me how to be infected. Because that's the first thing people who are not whole, they start trying to tell you what's how bad. No, I don't like that church over there. I don't like those people. I don't like this. And no, don't believe that. No. They tell you all this other stuff rather than just telling you that God is able to heal you. that no matter what you're going through, God is able to deliver you. No matter who done it, you got to forgive, and God will help you to get over the hump. And whatever you don't think you can get through, God can bless you to where you can get over it. I wish I had somebody in the house today that say, I'm whole. And I'm not going to infect people with stuff that's negative. I'm not going to tell them things that ain't right. I'm not going to keep putting stuff on them that seem to be something that will infect their heart and they can't love the way that they should love. It's a shame that we can't talk to people and make them understand that we got to love the way God wants us to love. Instead of that, we upbraid our love. You can love that one with all, but that one there, you got to love them with a long-handled spoon, love them from a distance. We try to tell them how, and that ain't even scriptural. He said, love your enemy. Lord have mercy. Can I preach it for real? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're not whole, you can't even love yourself. So that's the reason why you can't love your neighbor. That's why you got a problem with me, because you look in the mirror and you got a problem with the one in the mirror. Lord help me here. You don't like your lips, you don't like your hips, you don't like your eyes, you're trying to change them. You don't like your hair, it ain't straight enough, it's too kinky, curly. You don't like yourself. Since you don't like yourself, you don't like me. Tell somebody, love yourself so you can love me too. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to get finished with this, y'all. Try to get finished with this. But they were circumcised, and there was a cutting away. And he told them, stay right here until you get whole. Quit bouncing around. Quit trying to go do this and quit trying to go. We all come in here. You know why we all here? Because we need to be made whole. Yeah. We're all in here to get whole. And what's going to make us whole is the word of God. Yeah. Amen. I have no room to judge you because I'm hurting too. Yeah. Lord, have mercy here. And so we look at each other, we judge one another, and we don't realize we need each other. Amen. 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 Let me go on. Amen. Verse 9 through 12 talks about the celebration that they had. Celebration. He said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, after the circumcision, they had a celebration. After I got healed, I celebrate. But you know what we do? We don't celebrate a lot of times after we get healed. We go tell everybody how bad it was. Ain't no celebration, because we talk about, oh, man, you don't want to go through that. We scare. We scare. Instead of telling them, man, I'm so glad I got to get rid of all that flesh, all that skin. I ain't need it. Was excess. Put me overweight. Made me. Come on and say, man. I didn't need all of that. I'm so glad that I laid my burden down. But we don't tell them that. We'll tell them all about how bad it was. Yes. Oh, but God healed me. Yes. Didn't take him long. Yes. Okay. Yes. We don't want to go through the process of healing. Yes. We want God to instantly just do it. But God could have healed them in a day. Do you know that? God could have did it that day, but he wanted them to stay in one place so they can understand what it feels like to go through something together. Because they had never went through anything together. How is it that when we start going through something, we want to push back from people? And God will say, all of us are going through something. And so you need to go through together, because there's safety in the multitude. Lord have mercy. We got to understand, God allow us to go. While I'm preaching, I could be going through something. While you're sitting and listening, you're going through something. I guarantee if I ask the question, how many of us are going through something today, it will be so many hands go up in here. And so while we're going through together, let God heal us together. And you know what? The same word that comes out will heal you no matter what your problem is. The same word. He sent his word and what? Healed. It's just like taking Neosporin and putting it on a burn or a cut. It'll heal the same. If your cut is on your forehead, it'll heal that. If it's on your foot, no matter where you put it, it's the same thing. All right, let me go on. Let me go on. Verse 9 talks about it. He says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, from off you. Wherefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal, means the rolling away. Now, what we got to understand here in this text is that God spoke to them and said, look, I've taken away the reproach of Egypt. In other words, when you come out of Egypt, they know you as the slaves. You are nothing but a slave, right? And so the reproach of you being a slave, people with no home, the label that you have that's been put on you, God say, I'm taking that label off you. I don't know about you, but it's good to have the label taken off. Somebody might have said you were a liar, you were a backbiter, you were whatever. I don't know what they say. They might say, oh, you ain't no good.